In from the west, and so that means by Friday it's going to be a cloudy, muggy, damp day for many, with some light drizzly rain to the north, the best of any brightness in the southwest, and highs of 19 degrees. That's your weather.
Thanks a lot, Louise. Now on Radio 4 we continue our Book of the Week, written by a 13-year-old Japanese boy with severe autism. As a parent of a child with autism, the novelist David Mitchell felt the young author of this unusual book offered an unparalleled insight into his own son's experience of the world, and he began this translation for personal use. David Mitchell introduces The Reason I Jump by Naoki Higashida. The reader is Casper Hilton Hilly.
Autism is no walk in the park for the child's parents or carers, and raising a son or daughter with autism is no job for the faint-hearted. In fact, faint-heartedness is doomed by the first niggling doubt that there's something not quite right about your 16-month-old. On diagnosis day, a child psychologist hands down the verdict with a worn, smooth truism about your son still being the same little guy that he was before this life-redefining news was confirmed. And then you run the gauntlet of other people's reactions. For sure, there are some excellent people working in the special needs area, but often your first contacts with most support agencies will put the last nails into the coffin of faint-heartedness and graft onto you a layer of scar tissue and cynicism as thick as rhino hide. Many functions which genetics bestows on the rest of us as a birthright, people with autism must spend their lives learning how to simulate. It is an intellectual and emotional task of Herculean, Sisyphean and Titanic proportions. And if the people with autism who undertake it aren't heroes, then I don't know what heroism is. Never mind that the heroes have no choice. Where to turn to next? Books. But often the gap between the theory and what's unravelling on your kitchen floor is too wide a gap to bridge. Every person with autism exhibits their own variation of the condition. Autism is more like retina patterns than it is like measles, and the more unorthodox a treatment for one child, the less likely it is to help another, my child for example. These books couldn't help me where I needed help the most, to understand why my 3-year-old was banging his head against the floor, or flapping his fingers in front of his eyes at high speed, or suffering from skin so sensitive that he couldn't sit or lie down, or howling with grief for 45 minutes when the Pingu DVD was too scratched for the DVD player to read. My reading provided theories and angles and anecdotes and guesses about these challenges, but without reasons, all I could do was look on helplessly. This book goes much further than providing information. It offers a proof that locked inside the helpless-seeming autistic body is a mind as curious and subtle and complex as yours, as mine, as anyone else's.
Children with autism are growing and developing every single day. Yet we are forever being treated like babies. I guess this is because we seem to act younger than our true age, but whenever anyone treats me as if I'm still a toddler, it really upsets me. I don't know whether people think I'll understand baby language better, or whether they think I just prefer being spoken to in that way. I'm not asking you to deliberately use difficult language when you talk to people with autism, just that you treat us as we are, according to our age. Every single time I'm talked down to, I end up feeling utterly miserable, as if I'm being given zero chance of a decent future. True compassion is about not bruising the other person's self-respect. That's what I think, anyway.
Why do you get panic attacks and meltdowns?
I don't know if you can understand this one. One of the biggest misunderstandings you have about us is your belief that our feelings aren't as subtle and complex as yours. Because how we behave can appear so childish in your eyes, you tend to assume that we're childish on the inside too. But of course, we experience the same emotions that you do. And because people with autism aren't skillful talkers, we may in fact be even more sensitive than you are. Stuck here inside these unresponsive bodies of ours with feelings we can't properly express, it's always a struggle just to survive. And it's this feeling of helplessness which sometimes drives us half crazy and brings on a panic attack or a meltdown. When this is happening to us, please just let us cry or yell and get it all out. Stay close by and keep a gentle eye on us. And while we're swept up in our torment, please stop us hurting ourselves or others.
Why do you make a huge fuss over tiny mistakes?
When I see I've made a mistake, my mind shuts down. I cry, I scream, I make a huge fuss, and I just can't think straight about anything anymore. However tiny the mistake, for me it's a massive deal, as if heaven and earth have been turned upside down. For example, when I pour water into a glass, I can't stand it if I spill even a drop. It must be hard for you to understand why this could make me so unhappy. And even I know, really, that it's not such a big deal. It's almost impossible for me to keep my emotions contained. Once I've made a mistake, the fact of it starts rushing towards me like a tsunami, and then, like trees or houses being destroyed by the tsunami, I get destroyed by the shock. I get swallowed up in the moment, and can't tell the right response from the wrong response. All I know is that I have to get out of the situation as soon as I can, so I don't drown. To get away, I'll do anything. Crying, screaming and throwing things, hitting out even. Finally, I'll calm down and come back to myself. Then I see no sign of the tsunami attack, only the wreckage I've made. And when I see that, I hate myself. I just hate myself.
When you're on one of your highs, what's going through your mind?
Sometimes people with autism start laughing like a drain or appear to be having enormous fun on their own without any obvious reason for it. You must be wondering, what on earth's got into him? At times like these, we're having imaginings. Well, not quite imaginings, but we experience pictures or scenes in our minds that pop up out of nowhere. Maybe it's the memory of something that made us laugh, or maybe it's a page from a book we read. This might be hard for you to understand, but try to see these highs as a stronger version of those times when you remember something funny and can't help but chuckle about it.
Why are you sometimes overly sensitive or sometimes insensitive to pain?
Among people with autism, there are some who make a huge fuss when they have their hair or nails trimmed, even though it shouldn't hurt at all. At the same time, there are people who stay very calm and collected, even when they've got an injury that's obviously painful. I don't think this is all to do with nerves and nerve endings. It's more a matter of inner pain expressing itself via the body. When memories suddenly come back to people, we experience a flashback. But in the case of people with autism, memories are not stored in a clear order. For those of us who are disturbed by having their hair and nails trimmed, somehow their negative memories are probably connected to the action. A normal person might say, oh, he's never liked having his hair cut or his nails trimmed, ever since he was small, but we've no idea why. But the thing is, the memory of a person with autism isn't like a number scale from which you pick out the recollection you're after. It's more like a jigsaw puzzle, where if even just one piece is misinserted, the entire puzzle becomes impossible to complete. What's more, a single piece that doesn't belong there can mess up all the surrounding memories as well. So it's not necessarily physical pain that's making us cry at all. Quite possibly it's memory. As for people who don't show any signs of pain, my guess is that they're unable to keep those signs on display. I think it's very difficult for you to properly get your heads around just how hard it is for us to express what we're feeling. For us, dealing with the pain by treating it as if it's already gone is actually easier than letting other people know we're in pain. Normal people think we're highly dependent and can't live without ongoing support, but in fact there are times when we're stoic heroes.
What are your flashback memories like?
We do remember what we did, when, where, who we did it with, and things like that. But these memories are all scattershot and never connected in the right order. The trouble with scattered memories is that sometimes they replay themselves in my head as if they had only just taken place. And when this happens, the emotions I felt originally all come rushing back to me like a sudden storm. This is a flashback memory. I know I have lots of pleasant memories, but my flashback memories are always bad ones, and from out of the blue I get incredibly distressed, burst into tears, or just start panicking. Never mind that it's a memory from ages ago. The same helpless feeling I had then overflows and floods out, and it just won't stop. So when this happens, just let us have a good cry, and then we can get back onto our feet. Maybe the racket we make will get on your nerves a bit, but please try to understand what we're going through and stay with us.
Why do you flap your fingers and hands in front of your face?
Flapping our fingers and hands in front of our faces allows the light to enter our eyes in a pleasant, filtered fashion. Light that reaches us like this feels soft and gentle, like moonlight. But unfiltered direct light sort of needles its way into the eyeballs of people with autism in sharp, straight lines, so we see too many points of light. This actually makes our eyes hurt. This said, we couldn't get by without light. Light wipes away our tears, and when we're bathed in light, we're happy. Perhaps we just love how its particles pour down on us. Light particles somehow console us. I admit this is something I can't quite explain using logic.
Why do you speak in that peculiar way?
Sometimes, people with autism speak with a strange intonation or use language in a different way. Non-autistic people can sort out what they want to say in real time while they're having their conversation. But in our case, the words we want to say and the words we can say don't always match that well, which is why our speech can sound a bit odd, I guess. When there's a gap between what I'm thinking and what I'm saying, it's because the words coming out of my mouth are the only ones I can access at the time. These words are either available because I'm always using them, or because they left a lasting impression on me at some point in the past. Some of you may think we read aloud with a strange intonation too. This is because we can't read the story and imagine the story at the same time. Just the act of reading costs us a lot of effort. Sorting out the words and somehow voicing them is already a very tall order. More practice will help, though. Please never laugh at us, even when we're doing a less than great job.
Why do you take ages to answer questions?
You normal people, you talk at an incredible speed. Between thinking something in your head and saying it takes you just a split second. To us, that's like magic. It takes us ages to respond to what the other person has just said. The reason we need so much time isn't necessarily because we haven't understood, but because by the time it's our turn to speak, the reply we wanted to make has often vanished from our heads. I don't know if this is making a whole lot of sense to you. Once our reply has disappeared, we can never get it back again. And all the while we're being bombarded by yet more questions. I end up thinking, this is just hopeless. It's as if I'm drowning in a flood of words.
Casper Hilton-Hilly was reading from The Reason I Jump, which was translated and introduced by David Mitchell. It was abridged and produced by Allegra McElroy. And you can hear David Mitchell talking about his translation of the book and catch up with episodes you've missed on the Book of the Week programme pages on the Radio 4 website. The Shipping Bulletin is next here on Radio 4, and to take us there, it's Sailing By.
Thank you.
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Thursday the 27th of June. There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Utsira, South Utsira, Forties, Fisher, Trafalgar and Fitzroy. The general synopsis at 1800. High 250 miles west of Fitzroy, 1038. Slow moving with little...